I think I want to flesh out a little bit about what I'm thinking of or what I mean by observation as presence, as awareness. I'll contrast it with feelings. So for me, the feeling component is really about being in my body and feeling what I'm feeling. You know, all four components for me are about kind of stepping out of the mind stream. And what I believe is what disconnects us from our natural state of compassion, of being kind of in harmony with the flow of life, that kind of peace and joy that's unconditional, that's just there, I believe, all the time, but we get disconnected from it. And what disconnects us is our thinking, and thinking in a particular way that cuts us off. I think both that when our thinking is just running us, kind of it's taken over, and we're kind of unconscious and we're just lost in thought, and or we're thinking in a particular way that's judging, blaming, what's right, wrong, good, bad, or demanding and have to and should and all that stuff, that particular kind of thinking cuts us off from that natural, compassionate, connected with life flow. But also when we're caught in thought, when thought has taken over and we're not really there anymore. So observation being the witness of that thinking. So all four components for me, how to just step out of that mind stream, different ways of doing that. And feelings for me is like just dropping into the body, and it's not thinking about what we're feeling. I think it can be useful to name our feelings, but then to not be in that mental label, but really be in the body feeling what we're feeling. So that's one element of presence, but I wanted to contrast that with observation as just being with the pure perception in a way that's just seeing it, seeing the thoughts going through our mind, or just seeing what we're perceiving outside, or hearing, or visual, or auditory, or whatever, but just that being the observer of our experience. I'm finding this really useful distinction in my life, this being the observer versus being the thinker. And I got that from Eckhart Tolle. Probably many of you have heard of him by now. And I've been very, very positively influenced by his work and really love his work. So if any of you don't know who Eckhart Tolle is, I highly recommend you check him out. He really specializes in presence and awareness. And so this distinction of being that part of us that isn't thinking, isn't that automatic thought process, but it's the part of us that can be the awareness, be that observational presence. And so I'd actually like you just to play with that for a moment of identifying that in yourself. Before I do that, I want to stop there and see if anybody has any questions or reactions to what I've just said. I'd love to hear, just to get some feedback.
Well, John, this is Jeff. I guess I'm tracking back to a previous thought of yours that stimulated me about each of the four components, including observation, can be a standalone way of being present. And I'm really curious to hear more from you about this being the observer, because previously I've thought I've been an observer, but more in an analytical way, not so much in a life-connected way.
Thank you, Jeff. I have something I was about to do to give a concrete sense of that. But anybody else, any comments or questions?
I'm just thinking that I was struggling with language, you know, about trying to hear some words that would help me understand what you're saying, and then I'm realizing that probably words won't do it, won't help that much, that this observation piece is perhaps we just don't have it in our language, or it's not something that we use language to get to.
Well, actually, the language piece is equally important, or at least very important to me. Observation language, being able to differentiate language that's just saying what happened, just what is, just the pure, I don't know if it was you that used this example, but about the husband that said, I love you. Just the words that he said, those words, I love you. That's what happened. The language that just describes what happens. And then evaluation, any interpretation that I'm putting onto it, meaning that I'm adding on top of it, and language that mixes in that evaluation, interpretation, any kind of story or meaning that gets put onto that. So I also want to work with that today. But that's the more standard differentiation that people with offering NBC tend to focus on. And I like to offer this other dimension as well around presence. We'll take some more examples of that to work with the language as well. Anybody else?
I have a question. Would you say observation is presence, or is the language of presence?
I think it's both. They're interconnected.
Okay.
Yeah, one, I think they mutually support each other, reinforce each other. One's the words, the language, and one is our capacity to be that witnessing presence. I want to give you just a little taste of what I mean by that witnessing presence, in case that's kind of a foreign concept to you. To look around in whatever room you're in right now, to just look at something. It'd be easier if it doesn't have words on it. You look at an object and see if you can see it without even labeling it, without any thoughts about that object. Just look. And if you notice the word for the object or other thoughts coming in as you're doing that, see if you can just kind of let those go by, kind of let go of the thoughts and go back to just seeing, just observing, and being that in you that is just being the observer. So in some ways, kind of like emptying your mind or being the emptiness of your mind that the thoughts and the objects are the content of. Anybody want to say what that was like for you? Some people say they can't really do it, that the label, the thought, the words come in so fast they're not able to kind of look without thinking. But anybody want to share one way or the other how that was for you to do that?
I find it very difficult to not look at a chair and immediately think about the function of the chair. Mm-hmm. And then I switch to the light switch and I'm thinking about the action associated with it, or if I'm getting what you're saying correctly, to just see it without any add-on thoughts.
Yeah, and if the thoughts come, to keep letting go of the thoughts and keep going back to the pure perception.
Yeah, I think it's a good practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's new, the letting go, instant letting go. It's not automatic to let go.
Yeah.
When I began to call, I was having some really physical discomfort. And when I began to observe what I'm observing, oh, I just got such deep relaxation and my breath is just so deeply relaxed and full without making any effort to make that happen. I'm really grateful. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Particularly, actually, I'm curious in this moment if you were able to identify with that part of you that is, at least in my experience, that is the witness, that's not completely identified with thought, but something independent of thought that's able to just be the pure observer of your experience. Anybody have anything to say about that? Because for me, it's a kind of radical distinction. I think we're often so identified with our mental processes, with what we think. And that often I think what we think is who we are. What we're doing here is different than that. It's most of us are thinking most of the time that thoughts are going through our mind. But that there's something else that can be the witness of that, that is somehow distinct from that.
Hi, John. I did the thing that you asked us to do. And it was fascinating for me. I looked at a piece of artwork that I have. And my first thought was, oh, it's beautiful, or it's art. And so the more I kept looking at it and trying to clear my head of the thought about what this is, the more I actually could in my body experience the beauty of it to me.
Yes.
Without having words attached to it, without identifying the colors of it, but I could actually experience it. So I wanted to share that because this is really exciting for me.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Yeah, we're so used to experiencing things through language, through how we talk to ourselves about it. And this is different.
John,
yeah.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
As I'm hearing some of the conversation, and as I was looking at my object, which is one of those desk lamps, you know, that gets bigger or smaller, that kind of thing, you know, I tried to look at it just simply to look at the shape and the form and really the space it took. And as I just heard Mary talking about seeing her art and seeing the beauty of it, what comes up for me is it sounds like that's more than just observation. We're adding on some evaluation, some sense of adding judgment or evaluation of beauty to it rather than just simply seeing that. Could you talk a little bit about witnessing without adding to?
Well, actually, what I thought of as Mary was speaking to that, I think this addresses your question, is as I've done this with myself and others now for a while, what I've found is that there tends to be a kind of deep empathy that arises, a kind of oneness of connection, that when the thoughts aren't there and I'm just perceiving something directly without thought, there's a kind of oneness with that thing. And the experience of beauty, connection, peace, that all have been mentioned just on this call even. So actually, I think it's just something about empathy that happens when thought is not there and I'm focusing my attention on an object. So that's a bit different for me than evaluation as much as just something that happens when I'm perceiving without thought. I don't know if that's true or helpful, but that's what came to me. And I want to keep learning about this too. So if anybody has a different take on any of this at any time, I like to hear it so that I'm learning as much as you are. And again, I really recommend Eckhart Tolle for this, T-O-L-L-E. I've gotten a lot of this from his work and just kind of mapping it and fitting it into NVC here. I really like how he even goes much deeper into this.
John, okay. I just want to share from my experience when I touched that oneness, my brain, my monkey mind started talking, saying this is uncomfortably simple.
Uncomfortably simple, yeah. Again, kind of why is this important to me? How does this relate to NVC? And that if that the thinking and the jackal thinking, anybody not familiar with jackal giraffe metaphor?
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, let me just say. So that's an imagery Marshall came up with, and it's quite common in the NVC realm to talk about jackal thinking, jackal language, which basically just means language that's about who's right and who's wrong and who's good and who's bad and who deserves what and what we should and have to do and all that kind of judgmental and demanding language. He just came up with this metaphor of jackal. It's like a jackal talking. And the counterpart, the NVC counterpart, is the giraffe, the land animal with the largest heart. So that's just a common, quick, playful reference to these two modes of being. Is that enough for this moment? Anybody still need more on that? Okay. So, what was I saying about the jackal? That jackal thinking is what disconnects us, the idea that at least that's what disconnects us from the compassion that's there. And so, if we can sort of shift and identify with this part of us that can witness and observe and be that observer, it gives that space to be able then to choose something else besides just the conditioning that's in our thinking. So I think both in terms of observing what's outside of us, observing like what we just did outside of us, or observing our own thoughts. So it's the same process, just to observe, be that witnessing presence of our own thinking, just creating some space around it so then we can choose something else besides what often produces suffering and violence inside ourselves and outside. So to me, this is directly related to, this is just sort of strengthening an ability to be present, as well as what we'll practice around using language in a way that's observational language, or at least differentiating that from judgmental language. I want to keep making that connect, like why this is important to me. It's like strengthening a muscle that I think is crucial in the practice of NBC, to keep stepping out of our mind that creates the violence and the suffering. And what I want to get to in a little bit too is to also see that thinking with love. So it's not to judge that it's bad to think that way or wrong to think that way, because that just kind of feeds into it, but rather to what Marshall calls enjoy the jackal show, just to kind of love our jackals, because they're conveying needs. Every judgment is, I believe, an expression of a need or trying to meet a need. And so just to really embrace and accept and really try to love those thoughts, because they're messengers of needs. And if we get to the needs, then we'll find that beauty.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The language that I'm used to is Course in Miracles language.
Yeah.
So would you say that the jackal is the ego voice?
Yeah.
The ego, and the giraffe would be the Holy Spirit voice or the higher self voice?
Yeah, that might be a way to say it. Yeah.
Okay.
At least about the jackal being the kind of language that gets used, that tends to really disconnect us, but also, yeah, the part of it, what some would call the ego, a kind of egoic part of the mind that maybe is very into protecting us and creating safety and survival and all, but using thoughts and certain kind of thoughts and language to do that, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about this? I asked you to practice with observing something outside of you. How about practicing with something inside of you, your thoughts, that is, to see if it's possible to watch your thoughts right now. It could be just thinking about what's being said on this call right now, or something going on here, whatever's going through your mind. And I've actually found something that helps me is to focus my attention on a point between my eyes and just a little above in the forehead. If you close your eyes, and if you want to, put your attention there. It's sort of like you're internally looking at that part of your forehead just above your eyes in the middle. And I'll be quiet for a few moments and just see, even if you can't actually see or hear the thoughts, kind of a sensing that the thoughts are there, a sort of substream, a substrata of thinking that's just there. So I want to be quiet for a moment and just see if you can be that witness of your inner thoughts. Okay. Anyone want to say what that was like for you? Anyone not able to do that or didn't make sense? It's basically meditation. That's another word maybe for what we're talking about in some ways. But again, to me, it's such a useful skill to be able to observe my thoughts and kind of know that what I believe is if I'm suffering, my thinking is what's causing that suffering, not what's happening. Not what's out in the world there, but if I'm suffering, if I'm feeling anger, guilt, shame, depression, anxiety, then it's my thinking that's causing that. And if I can just step back and just watch that, just be present to that thinking, then I can transform it. Then I can work with it in a different way.
This is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
And when I closed my eyes, I saw, like, you know, like at a baseball game or something, there's those signs that have words that continually go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I saw, and I just saw it going and going and going, and just realizing that that's kind of what makes it so hard to slow down and to be in the moment. It's just always going.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Actually, that part around the thinking that creating our our suffering. I want to say a few more words about that, and then I think I'd be ready. I'm wanting then to shift into getting some examples from you all and working through both the language of observation and practicing this presence piece. But this thing about the thoughts causing the suffering is really, that's a really crucial distinction of NVC for me, for those that are a little newer to it maybe, that often we think what happens, you know, what we observe happening outside of us is what causes our feelings, causes us to feel a certain way. So this stimulus versus cause distinction is pretty central, in my view, to NVC, and very linked to observation, what links observations and feelings. And so what else I'd want to say about that is, yes, I like to talk two kinds of feelings. So there are feelings that when I'm directly connected to my needs, when I'm observing something and I'm just connected to what needs it's either meeting or not meeting, that there's different feelings, but there's not a suffering. There's maybe some pain or sadness, but it just feels like kind of a natural, it still can feel good in a certain way. Whereas when I'm feeling that kind of suffering, tortured kind of feeling, even a mild version of it, this idea that it's the thoughts that are doing that. So that either way, that what we're observing outside, the stimulus, is related to how we're feeling, but that the need is really generating a lot of that feeling because of how our needs are being met or not met, sort of focusing on our needs. So how about let's take some examples. I've been doing a lot of just theoretical talking here. Would some people be willing just to say, if there's something that somebody's doing, or you're doing actually, that you're experiencing some suffering around, you're feeling some kind of anger, guilt, shame, depression, anxiety, you're having some kind of reaction related to something you're doing or somebody else is doing. And how about we just take some of those and look at these two dimensions that we've been talking about? Anybody got one that you're wondering, how would we apply this to?
I've got one.
Yes.
I'm telling myself I'll never get this concept.
You'll never, telling yourself you'll never
yeah,
get
Yeah, I understand it intellectually, but I'm not sure I can do it. So that's causing me some suffering.
Okay. So that thought, so you're able to be aware of and observe that thought that you're telling yourself, I'll never get this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's observing of your thought. Now, is there something external to you also that we could observe? Something
related to that?
What was the stimulus? Where did that thought first arise? When I said what, or when what was said on this call where that thought first got triggered?
I think it first got triggered at looking at a plant in my room, and it was going through my mind that it's green, that it's leaves are different shapes, that the spaces between the leaves are different shapes, that in one part of it, because the growth is thicker, it's darker. Those thoughts continually went through. So I was never not thinking.
Okay. So as you were looking at the plant, you noticed those thoughts going through your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So that might be more related to the, as you were looking at that plant, so kind of the act of looking at it and the thoughts that you saw happening during that stimulated those other thoughts of, I'll never get this. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we just did, kind of just putting into the language of what Mary observed. She observed herself looking at the plant and then thoughts arising in her as she did that. Then the thoughts that were judging herself about that experience. So just the language of describing that, yeah? That's what happened. Okay, and now, Mary, see if you can just look at, going back in your mind's eye to when you were looking at the plant and you had those thoughts, see if you can just see that in your mind's eye. Like you're just observing, you're watching a movie, a silent movie. And then maybe the thoughts are there about, oh, I can't do it, I'm not going to get it. See if you can just keep that kind of separate and maybe watch that too. But see if you can just watch this. You're looking at the plant. You're noticing those thoughts go through your mind.
Yeah, okay, I can notice them. Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah?
I go back to what you said earlier about being the container of the thoughts. That was a helpful image for me.
Being the space, the container within which the thoughts occur. Yeah.
Okay.
John?
Yes.
This is Peggy, and the word notice really resonates with me. When I am noticing something, it seems to allow me to detach that brain action, the thought action, and just be with it more. I'm wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, it sounds like you're saying just that word, noticing, kind of helps you move into that place.
And, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that you shared, because maybe that might be useful for others too as a word that helps make that shift. Noticing.